I'm going to read John 3:16. And I have a few others that I want to read, a couple of scriptures. But this one here says, oh, that's John 5. That won't work. And this is, I got this memorized, but I want to make sure I get it out right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I think this is some of the ones that I had picked out, so we will see as I go along here. I won't be up here long. That 5:17? I guess I ought to get into 2 Corinthians. Because there wasn't 17 verses in the 1 Corinthians. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now the old man is still there, and he creeps out every now and then. We should probably expect it, and hopefully the Holy Spirit tells us immediately that we have to change. We have to ask for forgiveness for what we've done, and so on. Well, as I was saying, I had 100 things going through my mind about today, prior to our brothers and sisters getting up here and talking about the Lord, how it changed their life, and I got just a couple of them. Now, how many here know Mark Lowry, who he is? Okay, good. He's a comedian. He's also a great gospel singer and so on. And I think he's somewhat of an evangelist. Everything that I've watched with him, no matter who the audience is, he is always talking about the Lord and how you can become a Christian and what you have to do, because we're evil by nature, even though some of us don't think so. We really are. And that evil comes out of us as the old man. But there was a couple months back, I saw a video of him. And he said that he was just bought a new house. And he wanted to invite some friends over. And he bought a barbecue grill and so on, and some cheap steaks, and he marinated them so they would taste like filet mignon and so on. He's always got something really funny to say, but it falls in with what he's trying to get across. And he said that he invited some friends over, and some friends invited some friends over. So the day was going on, and this one friend of a friend knew about Mark Lowry and who he was, and he came up to him and he says, "You know, I'm an atheist. I don't believe the things that you say." And Mark Lowry says, "Oh, I never had anybody come and say that to me before." And he says, "So I went around and I locked the doors." And he said, "Friend, you're going to be here a while." So I believe that that was true as to what he did. He probably didn't lock them in. But I've been in situations like that myself, where it was a captured audience, so I had some things to say that they couldn't get away from it. And Matthew 5:16 says, and these two scriptures you're going to see why I brought these up. "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And then 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, or why you believe as you do." And today we're going to hear some of that. There was a time where, I don't know, I went down to Florida to be with my cousin. He was on vacation down there, and he He had a condo for a couple weeks, and I stayed there with him. But he left early, so he left me by myself in the condo. But his son and daughter-in-law lived down there. It was on the Gulf Coast near Tampa. And I was going to leave the next day. So he gave me the keys to turn into his daughter-in-law, because she's the one that got the condo for him. And she was brought up Catholic, and she was a Catholic that went to church 2-3 times a week. But I don't know if she ever heard the gospel. And so I went there to turn in the key, and we sat down and talked for all. And I knew her when she lived up here in Buffalo, too, when I went to visit my cousin and so on. But I didn't have much time with her and so on. And there was always something going on where I didn't have that chance. But when her mother died or her father, I can't remember what it was, and of course my cousin died, she was at both funerals, and so was I. And I just spoke about my cousin, and she was surprised that I was there when one of her parents died and so on. So now I'm down in Florida, and she says, "Wow," she says, "you're such a nice guy." She says, "You must have really been bad." And I said, "Oh yeah." I says, "I definitely was." I says, "But I could be a little bad. It wouldn't make much difference because I was separated from God. I didn't know it at the time. And my sin is what separated him. And it, like I said, let your light shine before men in such a way." And she saw something in me that day that I wasn't trying to project or anything, but it came out, and I said why I was the way I was. And I says, I still mess up and so on, but let me tell you something. So I got into sharing the gospel with her, and she listened for a while, but then she cut me off. She says, "We Catholics don't wear our faith on our sleeves." And I says, "What does that mean?" She says, "I've heard enough." I says, "Okay." I says, "But think about what I said," and so on. And I don't know where that went. So every now and then, as we have a chance to share the gospel and so on, they may kick us out, and that's happened before too. But every little word, if the Spirit is working, that's going to be there. And eventually, if they're coming to Christ, where the Spirit draws them, all those words will come to light for them, and they'll understand it. And they'll want to repent of their sins, which is going to turn around what your life is, do a complete 180. And I know when I became a Christian, I was down in a Presbyterian church in Virginia Beach, and I'm not going to give you my testimony. However, as the year went on, I put my testimony together because they told me I needed to do this. And every now and then, when the pastor went out, he'd call me up and says, "You want to go with me? And we're going to go visitation, and I want you to give your testimony as to what you can do and so on." And I said, "Sure." So that year was up, and about a year and a half, maybe into 2 years, they said, "Ron, we're having a general assembly here in Norfolk, and we would like you," they want three people to give testimonies, one from Virginia Beach, one from Portsmouth, and one from Chesapeake, Virginia. And they're all grouped together, the cities. And I said, "Really?" He says, "Yeah, you're just gonna tell the audience," which is pastors and their wives and chaplains from the different services that belong to the Presbyterian Church in America, "you're gonna tell them what Jesus is like." I said, "Oh, thanks for saying that. You know, that's just what I need to do." And I said, "Lord," I was with a group from church, and they were praying for me and so on. I says, "And Lord, let me be first. I don't want to be last." And well, they called the girl from Chesapeake first, and then somebody from Portsmouth, and then me. I says, "Well, so much for that prayer. And God has different ideas." And the girl that was talking, she had a very low voice and so on, and she says, "I hope you can hear me. I just can't talk loud." And of course, I can talk loud because of my deafness and so on. I don't even know it half the time. But I got up there and I said, "Well," she said, "that she hopes that you people out there can hear her. And I says, I hope that you can hear me because my heart is beating like crazy and it's probably going to brown out my voice. And my heart was just beating like crazy. But I got through it and so on. And I talked about being the typical drunken sailor and so on. And of course, I got a bunch of pastors that were in the Navy come up and say, what do you mean typical? You know, and he says, we weren't drunken sailors. And I said, well, I was. And I said, the Lord saved me from that. So that is all I had to say on this, that you have to be prepared because somewhere along the line, somebody's going to ask you a question of what the hope is in you. Putting your testimony together is a big part of it. It's like pre-evangelism. You go out like I did with the pastor. They knew that I was there to start it off and so on, where the pastor started saying something, says, let Ron tell you this or that, and that could happen to you. And then we go into the gospel presentation. When you put your testimony down, you're presenting God in this thing and how it happened. So you are almost prepared to give a testimony. And what is a testimony? You know, when people are called into court to give a witness, they're a witness to something. And that's all it is. You give your testimony of what the truth is or what the falsehood is when you're in court. And that's what you're telling about Christ and so on. So Rachel's going to be up here first, and then Jackie, and then Paul. And we just pray that, I prayed earlier for them, that Satan would not try to mess them up in what they're saying. And of course, they may stumble over a few things. You get nervous when you're talking about yourself. And so I'm going to call up Rachel first, and we'll hear what Christ did in her life, and then Jackie, you be ready when she is done, and then Paul. Okay, thank you.